Philemon, we want to look at guard your heart, and it's a significant aspect of scriptures to look at because we just finished Holy Ghost meeting and we have just how many more months left in the year to run, and there are just some things that we need to revisit with respect to God's word, how faith works, how the word of God produces in our lives, that we need to look at certain things in the scriptures to bring us up to speed with respect to the truth of God's word. Philemon, and verse 6, he has only one chapter. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice the communication, that's the sharing of your faith. So every believer has faith. Here, faith with respect to the body of beliefs that you have received when you believe the gospel. That's what faith is in this case. It now says sharing that faith, communicating that faith becomes effectual. So there's something that hates the sharing of your faith. It doesn't hate your faith. It hates what? The sharing of your faith, the communication of your faith. Now, you can apply that personally. It's talking about your interaction with people with respect to what you have believed and what you have received. But it also applies to your personal life, which is what you have believed, how does it find expression? Because the faith of Jesus in your heart is not just meant to stay in your heart, it's meant to find expression outside. So Philemon is praying, or rather Paul is praying for Philemon, and he says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Now, the one acknowledging is very important because it means to recognize. It means to know very well. It means to know in precise detail, not an idea, but to have precise detail, notice, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Again, the word in the epistles was introduced because there was hardly a better word to describe what it means for someone to be saved. It was a difficult concept to convey to people, what it means for a man to be saved. So the word in, theologians have discussed it and have agreed that in is in, because they can't really find any other word in English language to explain what it means for a man to believe the gospel and to be in Christ Jesus. For instance, look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And you will agree with me that that a man is saved doesn't mean he knows what it means to be saved. Hallelujah. How many of us, the day you got saved, the week you got saved, you knew what it meant? A lot of us saw it as fire insurance. And as long as you think that way, you'll be dormant for many years, isn't it? In fact, if you ask you, when were you saved? Most of us don't really know the exact date, gong-gong. You know what I mean? As in, I was just saved, sha. Which day? I came out one day. Which day? I don't remember, because that's if you have come out like 70 times. You know what I'm talking about? Because yes, because if they preach again, you tell yourself, it's like I'm not genuinely saved. So let me now come out for genuine salvation. So you kept coming out. So you can't really remember the date. But notice what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice, he that believeth and is what? Baptized. Now the word baptized means to be immersed. So the gospel is meant to be announced. Those who hear, understand, and believe are immersed into the reality of what is announced. Let me say it again. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. To believe in is a baptism. We've said that over and over again. So to believe and to be baptized, they mean the same thing. The word baptized simply means you are immersed into what the message has conveyed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when Paul got to Ephesus, he asked them, unto what then were you baptized? Why? He saw the way they were living. He saw the way they were walking. He understood that whatever he saw them doing is a function of what they had. So he said, unto what were you baptized? So when we say the gospel, we're talking about God's saving grace in words. When a man believes that gospel, is immersed into the reality those words describe. That's very important. It's a spiritual operation. So when the Bible says that the communication of your faith, the faith which you received, when did you receive? When you believed the gospel. It took place in an instant. sometimes less than a second. Several times you heard the gospel, there was a day you paid it to what you had. Then there was a transaction that took place in the unseen part of you, your heart. And when you believed, you were immersed into the totality of what God has made available in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So when now says the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So he uses the word every to define there are different aspects of what that salvation offers to you and offers to me. Say amen. See, there's protection, there's preservation, there's prosperity, there's increase, there's favor, there's ministry, there's discipleship. So you were immersed into a body, what's called good things. Every good thing. It now says, now that you are saved, what you are saved into will find expression through you as you learn to comprehend. So it's a study, it's a journey. You start out, you start learning, and as you are learning, the same words you were fed with that got you immersed in the first place, it's the same diet you are feeding on to grow in the reality of what you already have. Let me say it another way. How many of you like rice? I heard this morning there was someone that doesn't like rice. Pastor Jimmy was telling me. I didn't say anything. I was just thinking, what does she like? I'm not sure there are people who fight rice. I mean, you don't like rice. If they remove rice from Nigeria, please, what is left? Just tell me. There seems to be two food stuff they must not remove. Gallium sulfate. And Rice Krispies. They must not remove those two. But if they remove it, please, what is left? And interestingly, year after year, from the time you were weaned, what you are feeding on, you were giving different variations of the same substance. Guess what? Your cells are growing. You were growing. For those who are under the age of 10, you kept growing. To your trend, you kept growing. You kept growing. Your limbs, everything. Your functions, everything. You were feeding on the same thing. Maybe a few days in a year, you say, I'm just tired of this food. I don't know what to eat. But you know, you will still eat eventually. Even when you say you don't know what to eat, it happens you just get tired of everything. But that tiredness cannot last beyond the day. Except you are fasting, because by the next day, when you don't feel like eating, we will find you eating. Because you need that to be sustained, isn't it? So when it says acknowledging every good thing, that means there are areas of what you have been immersed into that may not necessarily show up in your life because you are yet to acknowledge it. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So when we're looking at guarding your heart, we're looking at the principle of God's word that surrounds how God's word as a process grows in the heart of a man and produces the desired harvest and desired results. Now, when he says good thing here, if you go with me to Hebrews, look at Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 10. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The writer uses that same phrase. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. A better rendering is, the law had a shadow of good things that have now come. Not that they are coming. They have come. Hallelujah. Those good things have come. Now, when he uses the word law, there, he's talking about that which was promised. It was foretold. It's part of the prophecy of the prophets. Things God said he would do. So when you are reading Isaiah and Ezekiel, and you hear God said, I will, I will, I will, those are good things that were meant to come, which have now come in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm protected, I'm fortified, I'm surrounded by the power of God. The angels of God are on guard, they encompass all about me, they deliver me in all situations. Now, though they are present, because you have come to Mount Zion, is an inheritance. That's the spiritual atmosphere where you're in. But there is an acknowledging that enables you to walk. Now, let me say it again. That you are in something doesn't mean you are walking the reality of it. So there is a role your heart plays. And as we go on, we'll define, when we say the word heart, because a lot of times, we sometimes mix them up. The Bible uses the word heart majorly to define two things. The one that's most consistent is your mind. The center of your will, intellect, and emotions. He calls it heart. You can't see your mind. You can't see your intellect. We can't see your emotions. So it's invisible. In New Testament Greek, it's called cardia. That's the part of you that controls and governs everything. It's called heart. But look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. He also uses the word art, but the word art there is a different thing entirely. Ezekiel and 36, and I'm going to read from verse 26. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit." So when it says heart here, it means what? Spirit. So a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. Now, that cannot be the heart you already have, because you already have a heart. Every man being has a mind. That's center of your will, intellect, and emotion, isn't it? So when it says, I will give you, I mean a new spirit. So the spirit or the heart is talking about here is a reference to the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. That one does not require improvement. It is God's perfection placed in you at salvation. Say, I have God's perfection placed on my inside. So that's important. So the word heart there is a reference to the new spirit God gave to you at salvation. But then there is the heart of man that is used to acknowledge every good thing. So the good things which came into you as a result of the new spirit that God has put within you, those things are listed and outlined in the epistles. We can find them also in prophecies. Acknowledging them simply means your heart has to interact with those realities for there to be an effectual communication of your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, so go with me to 1 Peter. Or before we go to 1 Peter, let's look at Mark. I was trying to avoid Mark. Before we go to Mark, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. There's so many scriptures actually. So, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings." Notice. So, notice the words that God will speak. The utterances, God's ideology, God's principle, which is his life. When God makes it available, it will not appeal to you naturally. Notice what it says, incline your ear unto my sayings. Notice what it says again. It says, let them not depart from your eyes. That's the reading. It says, keep them where? In the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that what? Discover them. And they are what? Health to all their flesh. But notice the first principle, my son, attend. God supplies the word. You are meant to attend to the word. Now, God's aim or God's destination with his word is your heart. That's important. So it gives you keys, steps, what to do to allow the word to arrive at its destination. The word of God is the incorruptible seed. It doesn't fail. It doesn't know failure. It has been tried 7 times in the furnace. It has come out clean, healthy, sound. It's God's awesome word. It's the perfection of God communicated. Now, it says, my son, now you give attendance. That is, you have to deliberately pay attention to that word. You know, it's very interesting that you trust God for a miraculous outcome in certain areas. And with the exception of prophetic words, because this also works in line with prophetic words, when we ask you, what word do you have in your heart? What are you saying consistently? Where is the persuasion that this particular outcome will be yours? A lot of believers don't have anything to say. In other words, even if you were to pray a prayer of faith concerning it, there's really nothing that you have. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we have a reading challenge that's going on, isn't it? Because if you are not familiar with the scriptures, you are not familiar with every good thing which is in you, which is clearly listed in the epistles and stated and written out, you don't even have the material with which you communicate what you want to say in the place of prayer, much less persuade your heart. He says, my son, you are to attend to my words. So my words, that which I've spoken, which I offer you, which is my very life, which is meant to find expression in you, you have to deliberately give attention or time towards it. He says, attend to my words. He says, how do you attend? You incline your ear, or you cause your ear to hear. Now, because this is just the first thing, let me say something to you. There are words that will come towards you that people will say towards you. Have you discovered that? Words are so powerful that whoever you have regard for, when they speak words in your direction, it carries weight. I mean, if you know. If you meet a stranger on the road, except you're a superstitious person, and they just say anything to your life, Will it have an effect on you? Will it carry much weight? But if your mother or your father say certain things, I mean, even it carries weight. Because there's a way you see them, there's a way you regard them. And that's one of the reasons why we warn parents that don't give your child a wrong impression about God. Don't ignore your child because the child has done wrong. Don't say you're not talking to the child for 2 or 3 days. You are giving the child the impression that when they miss it, God won't talk to them for 2 or 3 days. You know, some parents do that. And then some parents, because of the way you were raised, if you belong to my generation, were raised in a faulty way. Because that was all our parents knew. So we had to retain ourselves. I'm talking about hearing words consistently that I was acting it out. You know what it means to wake up in the morning and you hear this every day? You are highly responsible and completely useless. Confession of faith. You hear that every day. So you start dropping plays. You forget things because it's your heart is now carrying out because it has entered. So you now have to do something because the heart is a processing center. Guess what? It does not discriminate seed. It doesn't. It's a production center. Why is God saying, attend to my words? Because there are other things to attend to. That you do not need to incline your ear. They will bring it to you. Hallelujah. Let me give another illustration. How many of you find yourself humming a song that you don't want to sing? Somebody said it happened this morning. I know. I remember I used to work at a particular gym. That's why I stopped going to the gym. I knew all the latest songs. And I have a very good ear for songs. I was the lyrics to be playing when I'm out of the gym. I'm driving, this will be playing in my by itself. I didn't incline my ear. That is, the song inclined my ear to it by itself. I didn't need to incline. So when God's aim incline your ear, it means you are bombarded on every side by things wanting to program your life. Almost without you knowing. Without your consent. The news, social media, TikTok, they are designed to program. You know, there are countries that have banned TikTok. I hope you know. Then countries that allow TikTok, but they limit what is being streamed. How many of you know? Because you are being programmed without you knowing to think in a particular way. I hope you understand this is happening. It's called, let me look at the word I'm looking at. It's called, I'm looking for the word now. No, I remember. They used to use that during the war. It's not polarizing. There's a particular word. Propaganda, yeah. It's called propaganda. So they will condition your mind to think in a particular way. And meanwhile, it is the seed that enters the heart that the heart is allowed to produce. That means if you have a different seed, the heart will produce a different result. So when the preacher is saying it, guard your heart, is telling you, the issue is not the heart, really. The issue is the seed you allow to come where? Into the heart. Why? The heart is designed to release, to process whatever seed you allow to come in. When it says, incline your ear to my saying, it's telling you, when it comes to God's word, you won't find it lying on the road. You have to make sure that deliberately you put in certain systems in place to ensure that you are constantly seeing and hearing if you want to produce after that order. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far? So he says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from your what? Eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. That's the production center. Look at what it says in verse 20. He says, for they are life unto those that what? Find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. Let me say it again. No matter how sick you have been, no matter how many health challenges you were born with respect to DNA, the minute the DNA of God's incorruptible word enters, notice what it enters and it gains ground, it's going to produce. And what it will produce, it will be held to what? All your flesh. So the challenge is giving attention enough to it until you see the product. Let me say it again. There are songs that you listen to repeatedly until you master the lyrics. I mean, even I'm talking about. There's nobody that doesn't know how to meditate on. The challenge is what we meditate on. There's nobody. If you like a song long enough, you will mime it until you will be singing the lyrics accurately in line with the tone the artist sang it with. How many of you I'm talking about? You know what you have done? Because of your love for the song, over and over and over, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen until you mastered it. Now, the Bible now says, treat God's word that same way until it becomes a melody on the inside. Now, it now says the difference is this. The song you just memorized, there's no life there. The lyrics will begin to affect you if they are negative. It says, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. This one, it is life unto those who discover. When it is discovery, it is when the word begins to produce on the inside of you. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand this. Mark chapter 4, which is meant to be our main text. And look at Jesus' teaching. I'm going to start from verse 13 deliberately. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all what? Parables. So whatever Jesus said before, this is the grandfather of all parables. When you know this parable, it's fundamental to almost every other parable. What parable is he giving? He's giving a parable about how the kingdom of God operates. And pay attention to what he says. I'm going to go back to verse 3. Hearkening, behold, the sower went out to sow. It came to pass that the sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, and he had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. But an other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and what? Increased, and brought forth some what? 30, some 60, some 100-fold. 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were did about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. He said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom, unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That they see me see and not perceive, hear me they may hear and not understand, lest at any time notice they should be converted, and their sins should be what? Forgiving them. So the parable, pay attention, is primarily about salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read that verse again. It says in verse 12, that they seen me see and not perceive, and they hear me, they may hear and not understand. So there are people that the gospel is preached to, they will hear, but they will not accept it. They will see what you are saying, but they will not what? Believe it. So he now says, if they happen to believe, what will happen? Their sins will be forgiven, or the results of what was spoken will bear fruit where? In their lives. And Jesus gave that parable to explain how does the word of God function with respect to man's heart. Number one, the word of God is incorruptible. It is no respecter of persons. Let me say it again. The word of God is incorruptible seed. That is that which cannot fail. Is incapable of failure. It is no respecter of persons. In other words, it's not emotional. It can produce emotions, but it's not emotional. So it doesn't work for A and not work for B. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There's no variation in God's word because God and his word are what? They are the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's, you know, that's very interesting. That's why, let me say this. If you're studying on God's word in a particular area, you receive a testimony. The two of us can have different testimonies, studying on different areas of God's word. It's the same word, the same DNA, but the manifestation may be different. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. A lady gave a testimony in the church. And she said that she was in an alley. Do we have alleys in Nigeria? Do we have alleys in Nigeria? It's color we have. Okay. It's always color that we have. Okay. So, I hope you understand that Greek word, color. Check the Bible. So, said she was in that dark alley. And she was confronted by an armed man with a gun. And the person shot 7 times, point blank. Said all the bullets went in between her legs. Don't touch that. To give testimony in church. That's the problem of giving testimony sometimes and not telling us what you were feeding on. All people hear the testimony. So they say that the God that did it for Sister Moyo is my God. It's true. But what was Sister Moyo meditating on? Somebody else came sometime later and he was speaking from the hospital. Because he was confronted. The same God. Overall, he reached unto all that call upon him. He said, Pastor, they shot me. What are you saying? I was saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What did that sister say? The sister, she was quoting Psalm 91. You cannot quote Psalm 91 in crisis if Psalm 91 is not inside. Let me say it again. It's too late to quote Psalm 91 when crisis come. It is Psalm 91 that is inside that you will speak in crisis. You cannot speak Psalm 91 and conjure it. When crisis comes, it's too late. When crisis comes, you are likely not to remember a scripture. Do you understand? If scriptures have been living with you, and you have been living with scripture, they are life unto those that find them. So to find them, that means the same way a song plays in your heart, unbidden. Pay attention. Remember, we said earlier that there are songs that play seemingly without your permission or without your consciousness. I mean, even want to go. So that if, have you seen that it will be playing by itself? I mean, you know, there's a song I still have to delete this morning in my mind. In my mind, I said in Jesus' name. I was praying this morning, the song came. I said, no. And why did it come? I went to go and watch a comedy skit. The song, the guy sings comedy gospel, you know, comedy gospel kind of songs. You know, so at the first time I ever heard the song, I was just laughing. I was just laughing because it was secular song, and now applied to Christian situation, you know, that when it comes to barrenness, I'm not available, things like that. You already know. See, as I give myself away now. So, now, see the way you're laughing. You people, I know what you have been watching. So, this song just started playing by itself in my mind. You know the bad part? I'm lifting up, I'm going to worship God. In Jesus' name. Cast now every imagination. And I think that wants to exalt itself. I said, no. Now, that means the mind is capable of absorbing what you put before it. The same way I went to search out that song, I've searched out songs. I heard a phrase. The song was singing in the Holy Ghost, saying, Christ is my firm foundation. I gave it to the choir that you guys go and look for the song and sing it. I heard a phrase. And when I went to quickly go and look for it, and I got the old song. Then I played that song over and over until I was singing it myself. That's the same attention you give to God's word. Until the song, until the word is playing on the inside, he that dwelleth in the secret of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He shall cover me with his feathers. Under his wings will I trust. You know, his truth shall be my shield. It's not crisis. And I start thinking, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. So it's not magic. It's not incantation. You know what I'm saying? You don't use like incantation. That's not God's word. It has to be living on the inside of you. So you are conscious of protection. It is the protection you are conscious of that you are speaking out. Glory to God. That's what you are speaking out. That's important. So it says, my son, attend. It means it is deliberate. And it's not difficult. Let's just apply what we do with other natural things. It's the attention you give to it that affects what is ministered back to you. See what Jesus said again. See what he said. Verse 18. Know ye not this parable? How then will you know parables? The sower soweth the word. One sower, one word. Sower, one person. Word, one substance. See what it says. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, the sowing doesn't take place because the sower sowed. Because the sower here is somebody who is announcing or bringing the word near to you. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what said thee? The word is what? Nigh thee. Where? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is what? The word of faith which we announce. So we announce the word of faith. So look at it this way. When we're teaching God's word, when we're preaching God's word, we are announcing the word. What we're doing is that we're bringing the word near to you, but the word has to come so near that it's now where in your mouth. So it says, the word of faith which we are preaching. What is the word of faith? That which God has accomplished in raising Jesus. In that accomplishment, there are good things that now belong to you. But we are pronouncing and announcing. And we are doing that to bring that word where near to you. Hallelujah. Go back to Mark chapter 4. That is the word by which you were saved, isn't it? But that is the word by which you now keep having experiences in line with the good things that belong to you. It's the same word. You feed on the same diet, the same material. See what it says again. It says, "This are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown where? In their hearts." Can you see? He cometh immediately. Now, let me stop and say this. When it says Satan cometh immediately, the word Satan there means opposition. It doesn't mean that being that has a long tail, two horns. No. Notice the word immediately. And in seeking principle of the kingdom, it cometh immediately. If it is a being, it cannot come immediately because all of us are hearing the word. Hallelujah. And it's only one Satan. It cannot come to everybody at the same time. Yes or no? So when you think that way, you're ascribing to Satan the status of God. Only God can be everywhere at the same time. So the Satan here is a personification. It's a literature language. That means Satan is personified as opposition that stops you, listen carefully, from understanding what you just had. Opposition that stops you from understanding. The sower soweth the word. How is it sown? It's not when the preacher preaches it. It is when you hear it. That's when it is sown. It is the hearing that is called what? The sowing. So that it is preached doesn't mean it is sown. It is preached in order for somebody to hear. It is hearing that we call sowing. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? That's very important. Now, what is the word? It is incorruptible. It's unfailing. It's the same seed. So, it now says, what happens? Some fell by the wayside. So, Jesus is decoding parable. He says, when we teach God's word, notice what it says there. It's when they've heard, Satan comes immediately. Now, this is what it says in Mark's rendition. Go with me to Luke's rendition. Because you'll find it in three gospels. Look at Luke's rendition. Look at what Luke says. Luke shows a bit more light. Luke chapter 8. Are you there? Or let's look at Matthew first. Sorry. Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 4. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 too carries the same thing. In Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching the same parable. Verse 19 or verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone, say anyone, heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Can you say that now? So when anyone hears and what? Understands it not. What happens? Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown. When was this sown? When you heard. So at the time you heard, if there is no dutiful interaction, what will happen? It will be stolen. It was sown when you heard. It was not sown when it was preached. To preach it means to announce it. To announce it means somebody has to hear it. When somebody hears it, there should be an interaction which is called understanding. So you hear it, it's there, but it has not taken root because there is no understanding. So when it takes root, we call it understanding. Look at what it says again. See what it says? It says, then cometh the wicked one and catches away. Notice when it comes to catch away, it is when there is no understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When there's no understanding, that is what enables the word to be stolen. And see what happens again. He says, this is the day which received by the wayside. Okay? But the one who receives in stony places, the same is he that heard the word, and immediately joy receives it, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and what? Persecution arises because of what? The word. By and by is what? Offended. Hallelujah. Let me ask again. In situations of life that will come, you know, Jesus said that in this world you have tribulation, isn't it? So in challenges of life, it's one of the ways to test what is the word content, what's your word level? What's your word level? Are you one of those who chosen it? Well, you can tell what people are meditating on. If the first thing you adjust when there's a crisis is your attendance in church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The first thing you adjust when there's a crisis is church attendance. I'm not going to church this week. Things are really, really bad. God has not been faithful to me. You are a child. You know, have you seen children? Because you didn't buy them when they say you buy them. Mommy, I will not play with you again. You know, after a while, you learn to ignore the child. Like you, I give you 1 hour. You come back and play with me. The same child said, Mommy, it's like I'm hungry. You say you not play with me. I don't give food to people that don't play with me. If you also want to play with the child. So you are like a child. You didn't say manifestation. You said that means God is not faithful. No. It, because they say when challenges rise up because of the word, they get offended. In other words, they easily let go of whatever commitment they have to God's word. Have you been there before? Many Christians, that's where they are. And that is a reflection of the state of your heart and the level to which your heart can produce with respect to God's word. It says, if you don't have roots on the inside, what will happen is that he's using natural illustration, horticultural illustration, to explain spiritual truths. This is what the heart is. The heart is the ground that brings forth the harvest. He now says, there is no variation in the seed. The sower is not discriminatory. No. The sower keeps sowing, and when he's scattering seed, that means he's not particular about where the seed falls. But where the seed falls now determines whether the seed will produce or not. Can you see that now? You know, this is interesting because it means that even in those who are saved, when it says some 30, some 60, some 100, he's talking about those who are saved. He's saying even within those who are saved, there's still a variation in how much harvest you see. Hallelujah. Let me explain what that means. Because if God is not a respecter of persons, he's not a respecter of persons, isn't it? And the word of God is incorruptible, yes or no? That means the word that worked for A worked for B, yes or no? So, it means there is an attention A must have given that B is not giving. God will not give more manifestation to A than B because God is not a respecter of persons. And the word is meant to find expression in the heart. So if A is giving more attention to the word, he's fulfilling Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. So some, they are doing night and day. You are doing occasional. The results can be the same. Let me say it again. They are doing night and day. You are doing occasional. That is when you remember, they said we should meditate this week. They said it on Sunday. This is Thursday. Maybe you woke up from a bad dream. You now remember, they said we should meditate. So the bad dream reminded you that, wait, it's like this week I've not meditated. Now, it's not that God doesn't want to protect you or shield you. It's that the word content on the inside is low. Therefore, there's nothing for the heart to work with. Let me say it another way. And there is no time that your heart has a vacuum. It's always working on something. Most of the time, negative things. So how do you balance out the negative things that's already present in your heart? See what it says. Let me read further. See what it says. Look at verse 22. Matthew. Okay, we have gotten what we need from Matthew. Let's go to Acts to Mark. Are you there? I'm going to read from verse 18. And these are they which are sown among stones. And such as what? Hear the word. That's where the sowing is. They hear the word. See what happens next. And receive it and bring forth fruit. Okay, that's some. Where am I reading now? No, verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of what? This world, and the what? Deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things. What do they do? They enter in, they choke the word. Notice, it becometh what? Unfruitful. Is the word there? As the word entered? As the word produced? No. Now, what is the difference? The word has already found opposition where? In the heart of the individual. So, go with me. Go all the way down to verse 24. See what it says. It says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Never think what you're feeling non-consistently does not have an impact upon your life. It does. I shared a testimony of Kenneth Egan with us. I can't remember the teaching I was giving, and I gave an illustration. Illustrations are like windows into your house. They help you see what is inside the house. That's why I give illustrations when I'm teaching. And he said, by the time he was 50 years of age, he noticed that he began to have difficulty reading. His eyesight was no longer good. And I was wondering what happened. So, apparently, he had read a particular write-up in Reader's Digest, which, funny enough, is one of my best magazines I used to read. And in that one, they assessed things medically. He said that by the time you are from 40 years of age, your eyesight begins to reduce. You know those things are facts, yes or no? But is there a fact with respect to God's word? Is there a fact with respect to God's word? Okay, that is a fact according to Reader's Digest. But I read in my Bible, Deuteronomy, that when he came to Moses at 120, his eyes were not dim. His natural fault was not abated. In fact, when he died, God had told him, go and die. You know what that means? When God tells you, I command you to die. Die now. God told him, go upon the mountain, lie down. Now give up the ghost. It was step-by-step instruction. Moses was not about to die. At 120, he was getting stronger. And as long as there was assignment, Moses never got tired. So God had to tell him to die. At 120, he said his natural force was not what abated. So what did he accept? Kennedy said, he just is quiet. Wait, I read that magazine and I believe what they said. And suddenly, out of your heart will flow what? Issues or governing forces of life. I began to believe for your eyesight to go bad. The next thing that happened was that he said, they also said that your memory will not be as good as it was before. You began to forget things. How many of you forget things? How many of you forget things a lot? How many of you can recover with God's word? I remember as I've ever remembered. My mind is sharp. My mind is sound. I have the mind of Christ. There's supernatural intelligence at work through me. Do you know it's the same words that will restore every single thing that seems to be lacking or missing? The same supernatural world. It's called incorruptible seed. In other words, when it comes to natural seed, it will germinate by decaying. But this particular word has an interaction with the heart that it will produce everything that he has said. Hallelujah. It will. Have you noticed that you already have this confession? How many of you have heard me say that? I'll be alive for the next 10 years. I'll be well for the next 20 years. I'll be doing well for the next 30 years. I'll be thriving for the next 40 years. I don't know about your own. I'm saying my own. When I'm 90, I'll be using a walking stick. I'll be standing around erect. Guess what? I'll still be preaching the gospel. I'll be going to the continents of the earth. Why am I saying it? Because the power of God can produce it. Hallelujah. I don't want to see sickness in my future. I don't want to see somebody who is being carried by everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Because images are being cast before your eyes every day. I'm telling you. Kenneth Copeland is 87, I think. He preaches 3 hours standing up. I thought he was using something for his ear. Because all the strands of his ear are black. I thought he was, you know, using wisdom. Then I heard his testimony. In his 40s, his ear started falling out. He began to confess God's word. A toenail fell off. Began to confess God's word. Psalm 103. He satisfied my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The first experience he had was with his own mother. The mother died in her 70s and was praying for her, for God to restore her health. And God told him, it's not about restoration. She wore herself out. She refused to sleep. She was always up praying at night. She broke certain natural laws and she wore herself out. He said, but I'm trying to get her to confess God. He said, it's too late to confess that now. You can't turn. And I said, you are meant to put good things upon your lips. That's how God satisfies your life with good things. By you putting good things, which is God's word, where? Upon your lips. He said, but you can start doing it now when you're at this age. He said, he started doing it. Listen carefully to what happened. He said, the first thing that happened was that the toenail that fell off grew out again. Secondly, all the hair that fell off grew back. Then something strange now happened. He now noticed his hair, after they grew back, were no longer turning gray or white. You remain black. And I see black to now. He got to his barber and said, sir, what are you using? He said, soap and water. Well, I usually say soap and water is what I'm using. That means the word has entered the follicle. His hair follicles have been affected by the word such that his skin, natural aging, was reversed. But that wasn't what he was looking for. He was just hoping by confessing God's word, the hair will stop falling out. But the word, exceeding abundantly above, he produced much more than what he was confessing. His hair started growing back, then his hair became black. As you go and watch his videos, you cannot believe that man is 80 something and the hair is entirely black, not a silver strand, and it's by the word of God. I mean, it's a living testimony that God's word became flesh. Hallelujah, glory to God. And it is what is planted where? In the heart. So you can start a project today. We are on a reading challenge. Day, what are we on now? I'm not counting this. I'm just reading. I'm not following chapters. I'm just reading. If I can read 10 chapters, I can read 12 today. I'm just reading. Why? Somebody says why? Because you have to. This is your inheritance. Say, this is my inheritance. Hold up your Bible. Let's do this yesterday. It's phone that some people lost. It's phone. They hold up phone. Hold up your Bible. I'm holding one. I know this is not my Bible. This tab. But it contains Bible. Amen. It contains Bible. So hold it up. Don't do like this. Okay. Hey, this is my Bible. It contains God's word. My inheritance in Christ Jesus. I'm familiar with it. I'm conversant with it. I acknowledge it. My life is here. I live by the word of God. I live by the testimony of scriptures. The scriptures govern my life. This word finds room in my heart, finds expression in my life. Every single day, I bear testimony. I bear fruit to the glory of God that's inside this word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is what? The power of God. Say, this is the power of God. Say, this is the power of God. Now, that same power, Jesus calls it the sower soweth the word. Let me say it again. One of the most important disciplines, my wife is here, she can testify, is that I'm not fully sure, that a day goes by, I don't listen to God's word. I'm not talking about reading now, I'm talking about listening, because the ear gate and the eye gate, they are gates to the heart of man. Now, the ear gate is easier because you are feeding and hearing, and it's a direct access to where? Your heart. So I have to come. I'm not going to leave it to chance that when I need it, I will find it. No, I am going to deliberately set systems around me to ensure that it's on constant play and repeat. That's why, listen carefully. I buy new phones, not to push. I buy new phones because my phones are never switched off. You know, it has to be a new phone because it has to be strong. It has to be new. So I buy new phones with strong batteries, with solid memory capacity, because of what I put on the phone. If I'm driving anywhere besides my tab, my phones are mobile Bibles. Material is there. Messages of different kinds. I listen at any time. The reason why I even like traveling alone, they have warned me now. I should stop traveling alone. I've repented. Two things, because I will be speeding and you may not like it. The angels of God, they take charge over me. I've driven with a church member before, and was pressing brake in passenger seat. I did not know. I thought he was shaking. I thought it was cold. He said, can I reduce the AC? He didn't tell me anything until we got to church. He was telling people, he said, have you traveled with Reverend before? He said, I got to 180. I said, Jesus. He was pressing brake in the passenger side, hoping that I would like. I said, but the road was free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why some people don't like me traveling. Like, they want somebody to drive me so that I will not speak like that. But that's the second reason, because when I'm alone, I pray a lot in tongues. And I'm listening to messages with a loud volume. I have speakers. I just play. Somebody says, why? You have to bombard your heart with God's word until the life forces of the word become your reality. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. In the atmosphere of hearing God's word, picking up God's leadings is cheap and easy. Because things are coming your way every single day. I mean, I wake up. If the first thing I check is my phone, I better make sure I go to the Bible section or message section. Because if I make mistake, I open any social media platform. I mean, I don't need to go to Facebook. On my school group, what they are sharing, this thing they are sharing, is enough information. I think I don't need to read the newspaper, Pastor T. I don't need to read the newspaper. They post news updates on my school group every day. That's how I know what's happening in the world, in my school group. That means I don't even have to go to Facebook. It's there. But the negative, and most of it is negative. I hope you understand. It's negative. So how do you shield your mind and be on the same page with God? Can you imagine God being afraid? Because the way things are going, I'm even myself, I'm afraid. Why does God have no fear? It's his heart, his spirit. There's no fear in God. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Glory to God. So, schooling yourself in God's word has to be a deliberate exercise. Listen, you cannot give it to chance. All these listening to messages once in a while, it will not help in day of crisis. It won't help. There are times when issues come up, it's too late to pray. It's a time to make declarations because of what you have been feeding on. I'm insincere with you. It's too late to pray at that point in time. They are life unto those that find them, and they are one health to all. So there's a discovery of God's word. So it's a deliberate thing. The measure with which you used to hear is the measure that will be what measured back to you. That's what the Bible says. So if I give attention, the reason why there's much manifestation is because I give a degree of what? Attention. Enough of thinking that some things that come by divine intervention is coincidence. The minute you think it's coincidence, just know your word level is low. How can God step in and you think it's coincidence? It just happened. No. If you sustain a culture of God's word, meditation regularly, you will know what happened. Was it an intervention? It wasn't a coincidence. Glory to God. You will abide in sound health. Good things will happen for you this week. Angelic protection is yours. You will experience supernatural favor. Good things will keep coming your way. Let me say it again. There is no reason why 7 days a week you can't hear good news. There's no reason. There's no reason. It says sometimes when the word is sown, there are already thorns. And because I'm an agriculturist, that's what I studied in school. I know what that means. When you are preparing the ground, you weed it first. When you weed, you plow. The weeding removes the weed on the surface. The plowing removes the seed of the weed in the ground. What are you doing? You are still preparing the ground. You have not put in seed yet. If you make the mistake of putting seed when there's weed there, the weed has already taken root before the seed. It will choke out what? The seed. You say the seed is not good, but we call it the incorruptible seed. So there are things in your heart already that will combat and fight God's word that is trying to come in that we need to deal with. That's what Paul said when he says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down stronghold, casting down imaginations. And what? Every high thing. Because I'm a pastor, I'm going to apply this practically. When we tell you, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If the word has taken root, you won't find it difficult, because the commandment to love is because the love of God is already where? On your inside. But if what you are feeding on is, I'm an Igbo man, my word is the final authority. Whatever I say, it's whatever I say. She dare not. Once you see a man talking like that, he's not submitted to God's word. When you say she dare, who is she dare not? Is this your village people that are at work? You know what's the problem? Because you are not submitted to God's word. That means before the word came, there's already an argument on the inside. We find men today who cannot do any domestic chore in the house. It says the work of women. Chapter what? Which verse of the Bible? That says feeding the child is a mother's duty. Please show me the Bible verse that says so. That washing of clothes is a woman's job. Show me Bible and verse. That says cooking food is for women. A woman's place is in the kitchen. Then a woman's place should not be to earn money and bring it home. It's supposed to be your place also. But now she's any more than you. You better go to kitchen. In Jesus' name. Some of these things that people are just, I don't understand. You're earning 400,000. She's earning 1.2. And if she takes too much time in the kitchen, she will lose the job. She shouldn't tell you, I don't earn me. Be going to work. I'll manage, don't worry, I'll take care of the food of cook. How does that belittle you? It doesn't. It's because you have inferiority complex. That you think being in the kitchen belittles you. Try it. Make the woman in your life prosper. Let her fulfill her dreams. And see if she doesn't come back to give thanks. The glory in her life is yours. I don't know why so many are so insecure. The line of profession that she chose to work in is any more money. It's common sense. Your own working hours are less than ours. It doesn't make you inferior. It's the kind of profession that you're doing. Both of you are bringing in something. If she will need to devote more time for it so that you can have more time for it, and you just adjust. You know, this now we do some of this is an African thing. Go to UK, US. When they're paying power. They're paying power and she's working with a beginning. You will adjust. You become the nanny. You take good care of the children. Are they not your children? You shared all these African desires. I'm telling you, why should a man be insecure because his wife is anymore? Love her. Make things easy for her. That's the strength. That shows that you are a strong man. It's not strength that is beating you. Those who are beating people, that's not strength, though. That's cowardice. The minute I hear somebody beat up the wife, and you I say coward. Somebody was, maybe you were bullied, or you were a bully still. That's why you lift up your hands against a woman. And someone said, she was abusing me. Okay, after she abused you, when you beat her, did she stop abusing you? You know some women before, after you beat them, They run to one corner, far from you. It has not shut up. He has still not shut up. So why waste your energy as it? What is it? No, that's not how to answer some things. Again, it's what is in your heart. Tradition of the word of God. That's the issue. Is it tradition or what? The word of God. And that's why I advise ladies. He has snapped you accidentally twice. Tear his application letter quickly. Because he's not in your, you have not married him. He has made mistake with his hand. Like twice. More mistakes are coming. Because there's a coding on the inside that's making him behave like that. Maybe what he saw when he was growing up. But you are not the one that will experience that coding. Won't we advise? Flee. According to the word of God. From all appearance of evil. That's an appearance of evil. Yes. I've seen people that, I'm talking about Christians. They beat the woman is there, he repents. But she has translated to glory. So what is the point? So when you see some of those, a man who is not ruled and governed by God's word, flee. Don't stay. Don't stay. A woman has the same way, flee, don't stay. It's important. Marriage is not difficult. That's what they say that, you know, people that hope, you are hoping against, it will change. It will change. It's because we're not married. Eh? It will become a boxing match. You are not in the ring. No referee. Maybe you are in your house, he's beating you. Now you are not inside his house, he's a ring now. No referee. No. Allowing God's word to govern you should also be what you are looking for in the future partner, isn't it? And the same way, if you're married now and there are some areas where you need to work on, it's God's word that will bring out the meekness, the temperance, the self-control, the goodness which is already inside you, is the word of God that will bring it out. But Jesus put it there. Jesus cannot lie. Say, Jesus cannot lie. Say, I'm meek and temperate. I'm good. I'm self-controlled. Now, those things are inside of you. That's who you are in Christ. But you know, you have been reading about the fact that you are melancholy. It's a problem. How you are sanguine. Because you've read that. Have you seen those books before? If you spend too much time with them, you'll be crying for no reason. Just start crying. Look at my life. Look at where I am. No wonder I've been noticing. No wonder I'm always sad. No, you are a joyful spirit. Hallelujah. You're not melancholy. You are a joyful spirit. The word of God in your heart will bring forth the harvest, what he has said. It will produce it supernaturally. As long as you don't let the words depart from your mouth, keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life unto those who discover them, and they want health to all their flesh. In every area of life, you begin to see results of the word. And there's usually an overflow. That is, I'm working on one area, but I'm seeing results in many other areas because God's word does not discriminate. If all I'm doing is meditating on Psalm 91, that word will still heal. It will still give life. It will still preserve because it's God's word. God's word doesn't have life in portions. It just has, it is life itself. So it means that life to other areas that you're not even planning. That is, you get it right here. Marriage begins to work. Relationship begins to work. You just notice that there's a change coming up on your inside because you have not allowed it to depart from your eyes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this season is important that you and I learn. Now, deliberately. Again, it's not something you do accidentally or by chance. You have to put structures in place. What you want to see is prosperity. What you want to see is increase. And what is, so to speak, reproduced in you becomes a legacy for your children. That's the truth. That's the truth. It becomes a legacy for your children. If your life is governed by God's word and your children see, that's your first point of reference. Every time you want to do anything, they follow the same example they've seen in you. If the first thing you do is curse when it's a negative situation, your children too will pick it up. They will say, keep doing the same thing. So you have to deliberately structure your life around God's word to set an example for them to follow. Glory to God. When there's a crisis, when there's a situation, what's the first thing that comes out of your lips? Is it complaining or murmuring or grumbling? Or praise God, we're winning a game. It's another opportunity for fresh victory. New testimonies are coming forth today. Hallelujah. There's a report that trumps the doctor's report. A report that trumps challenges. It's God's word. It's incorruptible seed. I'm born of that seed. I'm winning again. I'm victorious again. Nothing holds me back. Nothing puts me down. Hallelujah. My down days are over forever. Hallelujah. If God came true in this area, it will come through in different areas. I cannot be an exception to the rule that God is faithful. He's faithful and he abides faithful and he can't deny himself. That's how you speak. That's what you meditate on. That's what should govern your thinking, so that God's power can find full expression in your life. When people tell me they're going to another country, they say, make your prayer, I usually pray for them. And I tell them, when you land in that country, there are men positioned by God who will wait to receive you. They will make your transition smooth. They will help you to settle down. They will make you offers that can only be due to the favor of God. You will not struggle. Because there's always this fear. I'm going to a new land. I almost don't know anybody. I only know my uncle. You need more than uncle. You need God. Hallelujah. You need God. And God is able to create a welcome party for you, to make things easy for you, through his favor. Lift your hands this morning and let's thank him. I guard my heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. In this season, I'll give attention to God's work like never before. God's word will bring about my prosperity and my increase, and I will abound in every good thing. This is my season. It's a no failure season for me. I prosper in all I set out to do. I prosper in all I set out to do. I prosper in all I set out to do. God's word transforms me on the inside, changes me, and I align with the will of God in all areas of life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.